and welcome to the Interactive Church Wednesday Testimony Meeting, a Christian Science teleconference hosted by CSDirectory.com. We're delighted that you have joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those with a computer, the web address is csinteractivechurch.org. Within the turquoise box, click on the first link, which provides the order of service and links to the words of the hymns and other information. During the meeting, we will mute everyone's phone to help eliminate background noises, thereby enabling a clearer connection. Later in the meeting, if you'd like to share a testimony, simply press star 2 and your phone will be unmuted. Only the reading portions of this meeting will be recorded so that individuals around the world may have the opportunity to listen at their convenience. Let's begin our service with singing hymn number 218. I will read all the verses before we join in singing. And a reminder that the links of the words of this hymn are on the Order of Service webpage. Hymn 218. O life that maketh all things new, the blooming earth, the thoughts of men, our pilgrim feet, wet with thy dew, in gladness hither turn again. From hand to hand the greeting flows, from eye to eye the signals run, from heart to heart the bright hope glows, the seekers of the light are one. One in the freedom of the truth, one in the joy of paths untrod, one in the heart's perennial youth, one in the larger thought of God. The freer step, the fuller breath, the wide horizon's grander view, the sense of life that knows no death, the life that maketh all things new. Hymn number 218. Again, welcome to this healing service at csinteractivechurch.org. In keeping with our recent annual meeting of the Mother Church, the topic of the readings for this Wednesday meeting is the Pentecost, being of one accord in one place. The hymns are 218, 345, and 29. I shall be reading from the New American Standard Version of the Bible and correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. The Bible, the New American Standard Version. Psalms. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. John, the words of Christ Jesus. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. Where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And if you had known me, you would have known the Father also. For from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been so long with you, And yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You heard that I said to you, I go away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Now I have told you before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. Get up. Let us go from here. Colossians. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bearing with each other and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Acts. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole room where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered, because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, "Why are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the districts of Libya and Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them in our own tongues speaking of the mighty deeds of God." And they all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" Acts, Paul at Ephesus. It happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus and found some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said to him, "No, we have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said, "Into what then were ye baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is, in Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. And there were in all about 12 men. And he entered the synagogue and continued speaking out boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some were becoming hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way before the people, he withdrew from them and took away the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. This took place for 2 years, so that all who lived in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. And from Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures. The scientific unity which exists between God and man must be wrought out in life practice, and God's will must be universally done. With one Father, even God, the whole family of man would be brethren, and with one mind, and that God, or good, the brotherhood of man would consist of love and truth, and have unity of principle and spiritual power, which constitute divine science. The supposed existence of more than one mind was the basic error of idolatry. This error assumed the loss of spiritual power, the loss of the spiritual presence of life as infinite truth without an unlikeness, and the loss of love as ever-present and universal. Human capacity is slow to discern and to grasp God's creation and the divine power and presence which go with it, demonstrating its spiritual origin. mortals can never know the infinite until they throw off the old man and reach the spiritual image and likeness. What can fathom infinity? How shall we declare him till, in the language of the apostle, we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Anatomy and theology reject the divine principle which produces harmonious man, and deal, the one wholly, the other primarily, with matter, calling that man, which is not the counterpart, but the counterfeit of God's man. Then theology tries to explain how to make this man a Christian, how from this basis of division and discord to produce the concord and unity of spirit and his likeness. It is neither science nor truth which acts through blind belief, nor is it the human understanding of the divine healing principle as manifested in Jesus, whose humble prayers were deep and conscientious protests of truth, of man's likeness to God, and of man's unity with truth and love. The magnitude of Jesus' work, his material disappearance before their eyes, and his reappearance, all enabled the disciples to understand what Jesus had said. Heretofore, they had only believed. Now they understood. The advent of this is what is meant by the descent of the Holy Ghost. This influx of divine science, which so illuminated the Pentecostal day and is now repeating its ancient history. In this final demonstration, called the Ascension, which closed the earthly record of Jesus, he rose above the physical knowledge of his disciples, and the material senses saw him no more. His students then received the Holy Ghost. By this is meant that by all they had witnessed and suffered, they were roused to an enlarged understanding of divine science, even to the spiritual interpretation and discernment of Jesus' teachings and demonstrations, which gave them a faint conception of the life which is God. They no longer measured man by material sense. After gaining the true idea of their glorified master, they became better healers, leaning no longer on matter, but on the divine principle of their work. The influx of light was sudden. It was sometimes an overwhelming power, as on the day of Pentecost. We acknowledge Jesus' atonement as the evidence of divine efficacious love, unfolding man's unity with God through Christ Jesus, the way-shower, and we acknowledge that man is saved through Christ, through truth, life, and love, as demonstrated by the Galilean prophet in healing the sick and overcoming sin and death. Atonement is the exemplification of man's unity with God, whereby man reflects divine truth, life, and love. Jesus of Nazareth taught and demonstrated man's oneness with the Father, and for this we owe him endless homage. His mission was both individual and collective. He did life's work aright, not only in justice to himself, but in mercy to mortals, to show them how to do theirs, but not to do it for them, nor to relieve them of a single responsibility. throughout all generations, both before and after the Christian era, the Christ, as the spiritual idea, the reflection of God, has come with some measure of power and grace to all prepared to receive Christ truth. Abraham, Jacob, Moses, and the prophets caught glorious glimpses of the Messiah, or Christ, which baptized these seers in the divine nature, the essence of love. The divine image, idea, or Christ was, is, and ever will be inseparable from the divine principle, God. Jesus referred to this unity of his spiritual identity thus: before Abraham was, I am. I and my Father are one. My Father is greater than I. The one Spirit includes all identities. All things are created spiritually. Mind, not matter, is the creator. Love, the divine principle, is the father and mother of the universe, including man. The theory of three persons in one God, that is, a personal trinity or triunity, suggests polytheism, rather than the one ever-present I am. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Life, truth, and love constitute the triune person called God, that is, the triply divine principle, love. They represent a trinity in unity, three in one, the same in essence, though multiform in office. God, the Father, Mother, Christ, the spiritual idea of sonship, divine science, or the Holy Comforter. These three express in divine science the threefold essential nature of the infinite. They also indicate the divine principle of scientific being, the intelligent relation of God to man and the universe. This concludes our readings today.